WHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Marine One landing in a private walled garden near Windsor Castle, where President Trump and the First Lady have just been welcomed by King Charles and top members of the royal family. A horse and carriage procession delivering the group to the castle now. Former CDC Director Susan Menarez will testify on Capitol Hill today. CBS's Nicole Killian.
She will tell the Senate Help Committee that she believes she was fired because she did not pre-approve the recommendations from a newly reconstituted vaccine advisory panel and fire career scientist at the agency.
The suspect in the assassination of conservative activist Charlie Kirk's been hit with 7 charges, most serious aggravated murder. Prosecutor Chad Grenander.
Just for the court's information, we did file just recently, within the last few minutes, a notice of intent to seek the death penalty that was filed by Utah County Attorney Jeff Gray.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources has improved its air quality data map to help the public stay air aware. Joanne Krulatz has the story.
The map displays real-time data from the state's air quality monitoring network and provides a color-coded guide to pollution levels based on the air quality index. The latest updates offer a more intuitive and user-friendly experience, making it easier to stay informed about air quality. One of the updates is a new orange or above AQI filter, which makes it easier for users to quickly identify when air quality reaches levels that could impact health. During periods of poor air quality across Wisconsin, such as ozone advisories or the wildfire smoke events experienced this summer, users can toggle the map filter to provide clear visual guidance to help communities stay informed and make safer decisions.
Wood County and the Opioid Task Force have another round of funding to combat the ongoing opioid crisis in the region. These settlement dollars received from opioid litigation against major pharmaceutical companies aim to address the profound impact of the opioid epidemic. They'll do so through targeted interventions, community support, and long-term solutions. Sue Smith is the director and health officer for the Wood County Health Department. She said the response to their first request for proposals from the community exceeded their expectations in both depth and creativity, along with the number of applicants. Wood County Board Chair Lance Plimmel said, quote, "Funding community-driven ideas isn't just the right thing to do. It's the most effective path toward long-term impact. We're proud to continue this investment," end quote. Applications for funding will be accepted until 4:59 p.m. on October 13th, on the Wood County website. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
The magic number is 7. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball. The Brewers host the LA Angels again tonight. Last night, the Crew with a 9-2 win. Christian Yelich, a 2-run homer in the 4th. A 7 is the Brewers' magic number to clinch the division, but Yelly says it's still too early for all that right now.
Yeah, I mean, we just need to focus on winning that night, like not even thinking about like the magic number. We need to just keep stacking wins and playing good baseball, and that'll take care of itself. You can't do that in one night. And you start looking ahead, then things can get away from you a little bit.
College football. The Badgers getting ready to host Maryland Saturday at Camp Randall, kickoff 11 a.m. NFL, Packers wide receiver Jaden Reed confirming he's now had surgery to repair his broken collarbone and foot fracture. Meanwhile, Christian Watson says his new contract extension takes some pressure off as he tries to come back from that torn ACL.
For me, I mean, it was really just to, you know, take that pressure off of myself so I can kind of just go out there when I get back and just play free.
That's Packers wide receiver Christian Watson with Sports on Mike Clemens.
97.5 WFHR, locally grown radio, and home for the Todd Allball Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
We have a chance at an isolated shower or thunderstorm today. Otherwise, it'll be partly cloudy to mostly sunny with a high in the low to mid 80s this afternoon. Tonight, slight chance of thunderstorms will drop to around 60 for a low. Tomorrow, scattered thunderstorms and a little cooler with a high in the mid to upper 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp 62.
How serious is youth vaping? Irreversible lung damage serious? 1 in 10 kids vape serious? Which warrants a serious conversation from a serious parental figure like yourself? Not the seriously know-it-all sports dad or the seriously smart podcaster. It requires a serious conversation that is best had by you. No, seriously, the best person to talk to your child about vaping is you. To start the conversation, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
This message is for Karina, our mom who finished her high school diploma at age 28. Hi, Mom. It's Amethyst and Nicholas.
Congratulations on getting your diploma.
You worked so hard and have taught us so much.
We love you.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, soybean crops are sitting in the fields. China not interested in buying. We're talking tariffs with James Vanderloo. I hope you can join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. Welcome back. Nice to have you here up north on this September 17th, Wednesday morning, September 17. Keep that number 17 in mind as we talk to our next guest, Corrine Hendrickson, about the 17th State Senate District. Details to come right after Brittany's weather. And then in our next hour at 8:35, we will be talking to State Representative Francesca Hong, who announced this morning that she, too, will be running for Wisconsin governor next year. So we have a gubernatorial candidate coming up in our 8 o'clock hour. And that's not all. There's also tomorrow, we'll be talking with former Racine Alderman Trevor Young, who has just announced his candidacy for the state Senate in the 21st District, the seat held since 2010, I believe, by Republican Van Wongard. So a lot to cover this week with the change of seasons, not just, you know, back to school, not just fall campaign season as well. But let's get to the fall part of the season with meteorologist Brittany Merlot, who joins us along with Parker Olson, who's producing things down at Madison Studio A2. And I did not realize, because it's dark at the start of the show here, so the show is well underway for me to notice it is really foggy up here on Lake Wissota this morning. Is that something we're seeing all over the place?
Yeah, definitely up north right now. Dense fog from Eau Claire through Hayward into Ashland and Superior. That's going to be here for about another hour or two. Temperatures, too, right now in the mid-50s to mid-60s across the state. We're also seeing a few thunderstorms starting right now, pretty much from Amory through Rice Lake, and that could extend towards the Minocqua area, too. We have a front just sitting here over the northern part of the state this morning. So that's kind of the case as we go through the next day. This front is going to slowly make its way south through the state, and then the system, the low pressure itself, will eventually move into the state for the weekend. So yes, wet weather ahead and cooler temperatures too. But not today. We're still looking very warm across the state, low to mid 80s everywhere. Some of us will be nearing 90 once again. It will be a sunny day, especially south into Madison and Milwaukee. Clouds will be increasing though west and north throughout the afternoon. Drizzle is possible far southwest midday. And then we're looking at more small storms sparking up again this evening, especially northeast in our state. And then tomorrow, cooler, slightly cooler, especially north, only mid-60s up north. 80s will still be felt down south tomorrow. Scattered spotty showers are expected kind of statewide, very isolated, very brief and small. But chances for sunshine still hang on into Madison and Milwaukee until the weekend. That's when that low pressure system arrives. So heavier rain and storms on the way.
Conceivably, today and tomorrow could mark the last of the mid-80s.
It could, unless
we get a nice little warm spell in October, which does happen, by the way.
It does. Even in November, it's happened.
So. Yes. Okay. So shut up, Pat. Don't get ahead of yourself here. Good morning from Tigerton, writes Rob. Partly cloudy and 59 degrees. It felt a lot like mid-July rather than mid-September. Yesterday was busy mowing lawns in Wittenberg. To me, this is the first that has been actually dry, a lot of dry grass that's drying out for the first time since spring. Today, he's got a mowing job in rural Tigerton, a doctor's appointment in Shawano, and he writes no fog in the Tigerton area. Tony writes that these 80-degree days have been killing me. It's so hot, and I refuse to turn on my air conditioner. You live on Lake Superior. You have the world's greatest air conditioner up there, Tony. The Tony also adds, it was so foggy, I could barely see the turkeys crossing the road. Unacceptable. You got to be able to see the turkeys when they're heading across.
And the deer up there.
Yes, exactly. And yeah, so that's from Tony, and that's from Rob. And we'll have more from Brittany coming up in 1 hour. Brittany, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. Also a note up here from our friends at Motherhood for Good, who are saying good morning. I sense they maybe want to hear more from one of our next guests coming up. This is a candidate announcement kind of day, a candidate announcement kind of week. You had State Senator Hilda Royce getting into the race for governor a couple days ago. I just mentioned State Representative Francesca Hong also joining the governor's race. There are state Senate candidates, one I just told you about in the Racine area, and now one potentially in the Nuclearis area, as we welcome in Corrine Hendrickson to tell us what she's going to be up to later today, former child care provider in the Nuclearis area. Corrine, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. It's still really weird to hear former in front of that.
I completely it's weird for me to say it, and it's not something we necessarily like to dwell on. But the thing that's prompting, you know, your change in what you do on a day-to-day basis is rooted in a Wisconsin legislative leadership team that did not ever seem to take everything that you said seriously about just how serious child care and other issues are for Wisconsin families. And so consequently, what's that meant for you? What is it that you plan to be doing throughout the day today?
So it means that I guess I have to do it myself.
There you go.
So I am officially running for State Senate District 17. That is the southwestern part of Wisconsin, which we have some really good progressive Democratic roots, and we just need to get back to them. And a lot of it comes down to the lack of affordability in our daily lives, whether it's groceries, child care, our property taxes continuing to increase because our state refuses to invest in our public schools appropriately and instead is cutting taxes for the wealthy and to keep the powerful in power. So at 10:30 this morning, I will be launching at the Nuclearis Village Park. Super excited because in Nuclearis, it's a tradition to have elk horns, and there will be elk horns there as well. So I'm hoping that lots of people will join me and support me in my newest adventure.
Those are those big Swiss horns, like as if everybody's going to get a Ricola lozenge or something at this point.
Hey, maybe that should be my thing.
There you go. Instead of tossing candy at parades, you're tossing cough drops. It could be whatever works for you. Now let's take care of the elephant in the room, or shall we say the donkey, because we're going to be talking about primaries, and that 2026 is probably going to be a year unlike any other. In terms of primaries, you've got an open governor's seat, an open lieutenant governor's seat, an open secretary of state seat, and you've already got three Democratic candidates announced in the 3rd congressional district, and now you have in these state Senate districts at least three different state Senate districts. Now, there will be primaries as well, and that includes in your district where Representative Jenna Jacobson has also already announced. In this case, let's just bring it down to this particular example in the 17th Senate District. There is a motivator for multiple Democrats to want to run, and that's because the Republican incumbent, Howard Markline, chairs the Joint Finance Committee. So, I mean, all the more motivation for Democrats to jump in, right?
Oh, absolutely. I also find it interesting that so far, Senate 17 is all women. Lisa White is also running. And the CD3, which is Van Orden's, is all women, too. So I feel like there's a little bit of, women wanting to make sure that we can take care of our families and our communities and stepping up into this space. I think it's good there's a primary. I think we can, learn from each other. I think the voters have a right to choose because, we fought for gerrymandering. So that's part of why there's so many also interested. This seat is now winnable because the lack of gerrymandering. In our state, we have fair maps. But at the same time, have a robust primary because that's the way for the people to decide who they want on their party ticket, I guess you would say. So I'm looking forward to, getting to know people and proving, that I'm the hardest worker and I'm the best for the position.
The comments are already coming in, including from Tony, that says it seems like a great opportunity for new faces and for new ideas as well. And now, again, I'm not looking to make Senator Howard Markline, you know, the issue is certainly not the centerpiece of your campaign, but the symbolism of a co-chair for joint finance in budgets that cycle after cycle after cycle seem to be out of sync with what he and others are hearing at all those budget public hearings around the state. Again, seems to be rather representative of why anybody is running for legislature around Wisconsin this year.
Oh, absolutely. When you look at the Joint Finance Committee hearings, when you look at the Assembly and Senate hearings in office at the Capitol, they're being told over and over and over again, this is what we want, this is what we need. And then it's they refuse to do it. 2 years ago, when they did the special session for the workforce, you know, they had 200 people send letters, 100 people show up and speak to the fact that they wanted this special session bill to pass. And after the hearing, they put an amendment in and completely gutted the whole thing. And so really, we need people that are not just going to say they're listening and that they understand there's a problem, but that they care enough to do something about it and are willing to go outside of their box that they put themselves into of their opinions of what's important to, it feels like almost it's what's important to them themselves instead of listening to what their constituents have to say.
Well, I think it's pretty clear talking to Corrine Hendrickson, state Senate candidate in the 17th district, what you're going to be hearing from Republicans and others, because, I mean, we've been hearing this for 15 years or more, and it's going to go something like this. Well, there she goes again. Here's another tax and spend liberal, and she and Tony Evers and everybody else, they just want to tax and they want to spend. And, you know, we're the ones that are holding the line on taxes. We're the ones that are holding the line on spending and being more fiscally responsible. You know that's what you're going to hear over and over again. So now that I've teed that up, what are you going to tell the voters?
So it's more of an investment. It's more how do we spend the money that we take in for taxes? Currently, our state budgets have been to the point where they encourage the people who have the wealthy and the most money to keep as much money as possible, to hoard that money. And meanwhile, the rest of us are working as hard as we can. And we're not seeing that money. We were promised with some of these tax credits that job growth would happen, job creation would happen. We don't need to raise the minimum wage because the employers will do it automatically for us. And that's not what we're seeing. What we're seeing is that those tax cuts have actually starved our public schools from the resources that they need. And I'm really worried, and people in my area are really worried about this next year with all the referendums that are likely to come, or, you know, if they don't pass or schools really, you know, don't want to continue to increase property taxes, what are they going to cut? The first thing is music and art and, you know, sports and all and musicals and all the things that enrich our children's lives and, you know, make them want to go to school as well and just make them more well-rounded individuals, and then allow our communities to have things that we come together over. The musical sells out every year here. I have Elkhorns coming today. If we don't have a music program, there won't be kids who can play those instruments. We won't have the fundraisers at, you know, the festivals because there will be no music at those because our state is refusing to invest in cutting it. Same thing. We have a dire workforce shortage, but we have a huge number of parents of young children who want to work, but they can't because they cannot afford and access childcare. Those of us in the field were in the field. Sorry. See, I can't do it. Those who are remaining in the field of childcare are struggling. Two more just announced their closing that have been open for over 20 years because they can't afford to keep going because they can't charge parents anymore. They're losing kids. I'm hearing now of kids at 5, 6, and 7 are going home. We're back to the latchkeys of the 1980s, and it's just not safe and it's scary, and it does not have to be this way. So again, it isn't tax and spend. It's invest our money appropriately so that we recoup those loss, that we recoup that money and we grow our economy, we grow our communities, and we, you know, have our kids can come back to the small towns that they're vacating right now because there just isn't anything for them in there.
Yeah, and you've definitely made the link, not just for childcare to then K-12 education, but again, to small businesses. There are all kinds of employers that are practically begging the legislature to do something because they're losing too many good workers to this childcare crisis as well, and they want well-educated workers. So you're going to hear these themes and more from Corrine Hendrickson. Her website is corrineforseventeen.com. Corrine is C-O-R-R-I-N-E, corrineforseventeen.com. And on all the social media sites, just put in corrineforseventeen as the handle, and you'll get her on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and more. Corrine, thank you so much for taking time to make your announcement with us this morning. We really appreciate it. Have fun with the horns at the announcement, and we'll talk again real soon.
Yeah, sounds good. Thank you so much for having me.
You bet. Pleasure seeing you, and best of luck as you move forward. Again, there are going to be primaries in several races here, so really keep that August date in mind if you plan to vote Republican or Democrat and get to know the candidates in your local community. We'll have our homeroom segment coming up in just a bit. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Crockett Septic provides professional septic system pumping, inspections, and portable sanitation rentals. Trust the experts and keep your system running smoothly. Call Crockett Septic today, 715-712-3456, or visit CrockettSeptic.com.
You've probably heard about investors who got in on the ground floor of a company that grew to be a huge success. But successful investing isn't about luck or genius. Instead, it's about building durability. Here are some suggestions. First, think long-term. Most investors make their money over time, not overnight. You'll want a well-diversified portfolio of quality investments and plan to own them for the long-term. Next, invest in quality. For stocks, quality is often measured by the steadiness of earnings and dividend growth over time. For bonds, one measure is an investment-grade credit rating with a relatively low risk of default. And finally, build a long-term strategy to provide a roadmap for your investment choices. You may want to make changes periodically, but do it for the right reasons, like changing goals or tolerance for risk.
This content was provided by Edward Jones for use by Clay Canopy, your Wisconsin Rapids Edward Jones financial advisor, at 715-421-0958.
Make every day extraordinary with something special from Wisconsin. From artisan cheeses to fresh produce to maple syrup, the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade and Consumer Protection's Something Special from Wisconsin program is proud to work with member businesses that certify their Wisconsin-made and processed products. Look for the red and yellow sticker and visit somethingspecialfromwisconsin.com to find member businesses and products made with care, quality, and love. Sponsored by Wisconsin DATCP.
Let's go Brewers!
You can go to the Brewers.
Wait, Todd, what?
It's Free Ticket Friday, Terry. A chance to win a four-pack of Brewers tickets several times every Friday. Great seats, by the way.
Okay, so download the free Civic Media app, find your local station, and listen for the keyword. Then text it through the app for your chance to win in this statewide contest.
Free Ticket Friday!
On your local Civic Media radio station and the app.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, and now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
How would this group respond? So we kind of do a full-blown training in the spring because likely in our community here, if we're going to have a disaster, it's going to be in those spring or summer months, likely. I'm not saying nothing else could happen, but and then we do a refresher training in November. So that's part of why, you know, I'm bringing this up now is that if this is of interest to you to help, you know, just kind of direct and manage those volunteers, we do need people to go through the Volunteer Reception Center training. And that will be this year on November 12th. And it does require an RSVP. This is a partnership between us and Wood County Emergency Management. And it's just a really great thing, a really great relationship. I hope we never have to mobilize it.
Right.
But it's super cool that we have, you know, 20 to 30 individuals who are staying the course saying, yep, I'm going to stay up on this. So if it's needed, I'm ready. And so this is another way that United Way, that 211 is impacting the community in a, you know, kind of a behind the scenes, kind of a quiet way until or unless something happens. So we could use a few more volunteers for our volunteer reception center. So if this is something that interests you, you could contact us at United Way at 715-421-0390. Or you certainly can, you know, check it out on our website. We've got a little information on there. You also can just come to that meeting on November 12th. You do need to let us know ahead of time. We do provide pizza. So we have food, but we do need to know ahead of time because we want to make sure we have enough materials and that kind of thing. But even if you came and you said, oh, you know what? It's not a good fit. That's all cool too, right? Like we want We want people to be engaged where it's meaningful for them to be engaged in the community.
I think there's a certain, and maybe comfort isn't the right word, but a certain comfort that goes for people even hearing about this, especially if they're just hearing about it and knowing that this exists, that we have this break glass in case of needed kind of thing in our citizens out there. That's a wonderful thing to be able to get, just give people just on in that level, let alone the actual, if need be, breaking that glass in these individuals in this, you know, plan, if you will, is able to go into force here. It's, you know, things happen. It's better to be prepared than not. It's really cool that the United Way is so, you know, forward with this and going above and beyond, if I can say, I think, with something like this in a program like this. And then you put it on our individuals out there, our community, our fellow community members, and to see them step up is so above and beyond when it comes to this. That's a very unique and very cool thing to be able to hear about. I appreciate not only talking about this with us, Terry, and letting more people know about it, but also the actual, you know, what it is that you're doing with this. This is really cool, and I appreciate United Way for that.
Jumping back to the 211, the resource referral side versus the, you know, kind of the disaster response side, I also just wanted to put the offer out there that if anyone is listening, you know, from a business or maybe you have a civic group that you're part of or something like that, we do have some really, you know, kind of quick, easy resource materials for 211 that can be shared. And so those are available as well. We have a help guide that we publish every year in partnership with Encourage Community Foundation. Those are printed in the spring, but we do still have some. So that's a trifold kind of a brochure. Just really around, you know, kind of your more basic needs that someone might encounter. Or maybe sometimes someone might find themselves, they worked in the same job for years and years, and they find themselves displaced. They don't even know what the job center is. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like things like that. Yeah. So we have that. So it's more of a, to me, the help guide sometimes is more of a, you know, tuck away resource, like put it in the junk drawer or slap it up on the fridge for when you need it.
Right.
And then we also have 211 fact cards, which would fit in like a brochure rack or that kind of thing. But it just talks about, hey, It's a good reminder. When you have a need, call 211. So we have those printed materials available. So if you have a place where those are, could be appropriately distributed, please get in touch with us.
Yeah, please reach out to
United Way. You can call 211.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Call 211. And keep in mind as well, if you're not able to call 211, they do have a wonderful website as well, 211.org, 211.org. Very easy. Be sure to bookmark it, and it's right there if you need it. For anybody, whether it's calling, going online, you're able to reach our friends at 211. And a big thank you for all of that information, Terry. We appreciate it. Terry John's with us right now, CEO of your United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties. One of my favorite days of the year is right around the corner, Day of Caring, Terry. It's coming up.
It is coming fast. October 25th is our annual Day of Caring. This is an opportunity for you to volunteer and help us help our elderly and disabled in the community to get their yards ready for fall. So we are currently taking two types of registration. One is registration for yards. So if you are elderly or disabled, you don't have the financial means to hire someone, we are willing to organize a team of volunteers to help you get your yard cleaned up. There's a couple of responsibility things for the homeowner. One, depending upon your municipality, you do need to provide bags, and those have to be paper bags. There are no municipalities that are still using plastic, so those can be bought at several local retailers, because that's a really common question that we get, like, well, where would I get them from? We do not provide them, and the volunteers do not provide them. So you do need to have your bags. In some municipalities, the leaves just get raked to the curb, and then they come around and pick them up. So it's whatever your municipality is, is how we follow suit. You do need to register. So we do, you know, once we get to a certain point, we will have to put yards on a wait list. So you do have to register, and it is first come, first serve, basically. So I do encourage you, if you have that need, to get your yard registered. And this is just, you know, the Southwood County area that is being served by this event at this time. And the other way that you can, one other responsibility of homeowners is removing any pet waste. So if there's any pet waste in your yard, volunteers are not taking care of that. So you need to do that.
Yeah.
Then we have registration for volunteers. So we are looking for 500 community members to sign up to come forward and help us rake yards that day. You get a free breakfast. So we meet at the Grand Rapids Lions Club. There's free breakfast. You get your raking assignment and you head on out. You also get a free T-shirt. T-shirts sizes are first come, first serve. So the registration is open now at uwswac.org. We've also popped it up on our social media. It's in a variety of places. But when you register, you indicate your shirt size. Another thing that just seems to come up every year, you know, someone will register literally the day before and they're mad that we don't have any medium t-shirts left. Well, oh, right. Sorry, you'll have to wear a large. So, I mean, you know, we try to balance it all as best that we can. But we do really encourage people to join us. It is a rain or shine event, which I understand raking leaves if it's raining doesn't sound appealing.
You were listening to the Rapids Report, sponsored by Crockett Septic. To hear the full interview, visit WFHR.com. The Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Locally Grown Radio, WFHR.
You're listening to Locally Grown Radio, WFHR, Rapids home for the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
Commodity prices do not look like they are getting very bullish anytime soon. That means you need to have a strategy for the crop standing in the field. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Wednesday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, is making some suggestions on what you can do to make sure the farm cash flows at least through the harvest. Those suggestions coming up.
Whether it's finally getting that blue ribbon or enjoying too many carnival rides, we all have memories of the fair. Here's your chance to share those stories in our Everybody Has a Fair Story contest. The Midwest Farm Report is teaming up with the Wisconsin Association of Fairs as they look for the grand champion fair story. Enter the Fair Story contest for a chance to win a cash prize at MidwestFarmReport.com.
What is the Dairyland seed difference? The answer is found in our difference makers. Our seeds are developed and delivered for unrivaled performance in and only in the Upper Midwest. Our local dealers, expert agronomists, and everyone throughout our organization who live to make life better on farms and in the community. It's our people, products, and pedigree that combine to make a true difference that you can see on the bottom line and feel in your heart. Learn more about our difference makers at DairylandSeedDifference.com.
Cash flowing the farm through the harvest season. That's one of the goals that John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, is suggesting. And he said you may need to use multiple tools to do that.
This market's going to have a lot of potential volatility in it, especially because of, you know, at least where the corn demand is. So there's some things that we've been talking to producers about. Again, we want to keep things fixed. We want to minimize the risk in terms of margins and things of that nature. A call is a one-time cost. Pay for it. You got the position working and just let it work. Whether you use somebody like myself or even talk to your elevator about it, those opportunities are out there that you can keep some ownership over this crop into the spring.
John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend. He says have those conversations with your elevators or your crop advisor right away and try to capitalize on any ups that might develop. Not many ups this morning in Chicago. Right now, December corn is down a half, 429. November soybeans are down 6, 1044. The wheat for July of next year, down 2, 571. Yesterday in Chicago, the barrel cheese remained unchanged, 161 and a quarter. 40-pound block cheese did gain a penny, 162 and three quarters. AA butter down another nickel, 177 a pound. And the October Class 3 milk that goes into cheese is down 6 right now, 1659 a hundredweight. That's just a quick snapshot on where the numbers stand rolling into a Wednesday trade session. More available now at MidwestFarmReport.com. I'm Pam Yonke. Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report right here on 97.5 WFHR.
We have a chance at an isolated shower or thunderstorm today. Otherwise, it'll be partly cloudy to mostly sunny with a high in the low to mid 80s this afternoon. Tonight, slight chance of thunderstorms will drop to around 60 for a low. Tomorrow, scattered thunderstorms and a little cooler with a high in the mid to upper 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp 62.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Smokey the Bear.
Then you know why Smokey tells you when he sees you passing through. Remember, please be careful, it's the least that you can do.
Don't play with matches, don't play with fire.
After 80 years of learning his wildfire prevention tips, Smokey Bear lives within us all. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com. And remember,
only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Chihuahua. On the next Nightlight, I welcome actor and Appleton native son, actor Mike McGill, whose credits include Shameless and Bosch, and syndicated columnist Greg Schwemm. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Chihuahua. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Boy, there's a lot going on today. 7:35. Welcome back. It's a Wednesday morning, September 17th. We just heard from Corrine Hendrickson announcing her candidacy for state Senate. 1 hour from now, we will be talking to State Representative Francesca Hong all about her run for Wisconsin governor, joining a growing field there. Tomorrow, we'll be talking to Trevor Young, who is a former Racine Alder who has just announced he's running for state Senate in the 21st district over in the Racine area. And if you can't catch all this live on the radio from 6 until 9, or social media, if you're watching on Facebook or YouTube, then you really ought to get this show by podcast so you can dip in and hear some of the highlights. So head over to Spotify, sign up to follow the show, or Apple, wherever you get your podcast, and never miss a moment of what we do. You can also get connected to all this through the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us. All right, welcome to our homeroom segment that we do every week at this time. Talk a bit about public education in Wisconsin and the things that impact it. A lot of those things come from the state capitol, and not just the state budget, which is all done now, but certainly all the other ways where lawmakers can introduce bills that are helpful or even harmful, as the case may be, depending on, you know, what people in the Assembly and Senate think of our public school system and what ought to be done with it. Somebody's got to track all these things. And for the Wisconsin Public Education Network, that would include our friend Bryn Horton, who joins us for a little update. Bryn, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good. How are you?
Very good. Thanks. Nice to have you along.
Yeah.
There's just always so much beyond the budget that could get done for our schools or to our schools, yes, as the case may be. So right now, the fall legislative session is just getting going. We never really know just how busy or not busy they'll be at any given point. So there are bills that are introduced. Some may get a committee hearing. Some may go to the floor of the Assembly or Senate. Some may just be introduced and not come up at all. But you have to note that they've been introduced because, you know, these are things that conceivably could happen. So as you're looking beyond the state budget at what the legislature could be considering this fall, what kinds of things are you keeping your eye on?
Yeah, so I think the main thing that we're keeping an eye on, which I feel like the fall is always a time of hurried introduction of bills because they haven't really done much since the budget passed. But both sides of the assembly introduced, well, they haven't been formally introduced yet, but gave press conferences on packages of education bills that they're planning to introduce to the legislature soon. I would imagine they're getting co-sponsored. And so it's interesting to see the play between both of those sets of packages.
Do you want to run through like the highlights of each package, the Republican package and the Democratic package?
Yeah, and this is fully going off of the press conference. Sure. Press conferences that I've listened to, because I haven't seen the bill texts of them yet. But the Democratic side is introducing bills for healthy school meals for all, which has long been a topic that that the Democratic Assembly members have tried to get through in the last couple of sessions. There is a bill about voucher transparency and having the impact of the of those dollars on tax bills. And then also there is a bill around budget and financing and the things that they're trying to do to balance out the lack of funding that came in the budget. And then the Republican side, my understanding is there's a bill around math curriculum and changes to math curriculum. I'm sensing that might have some of the same type of connotations that Act 20 did for reading. That's the guess that I'm going from that one. And then a parents' rights bill, which is also a bill that they've tried to get through a couple times in the past. And then also some bill around school discipline and teachers being able to do what they need to do to help with student behavior. Since that seems to be a talking point across the nation of teachers not feeling like they have the ability to do what they need to do to control student behavior.
So those are just some of the things that you might see in the Democratic package of bills, in the Republican package of bills. Looking at some of the things that are on the Wisconsin Education Association Council website and things that they're following, you also see kind of the same, shall we say, division between the two parties, where one is looking to maybe enhance prep time for teachers, while another may be seeking to micromanage prep time mm-hmm. for teachers. And as we mentioned with Peggy Wirtz Olson from WEAC a couple of weeks back, I mean, some of these bills, again, they may not go anywhere, but just the introduction of them is noteworthy. For example, restricting the kinds of flags that can be displayed in public buildings like schools and in classrooms. There's always something about, cursive handwriting as well. And then on a slightly broader level, state testing standards. And so I really kind of feel like there's this tug of war, if you will, between micromanaging, our educators and giving them the resources and flexibility to teach our kids.
Yeah, it's, I think, interesting in the cross specs of local control and the way that Wisconsin school districts have been created to give school districts and local school boards local control. And yet they're constantly being given ways that they need to do things, even though that might not be something that works well in their local school district. And so I think that's a constant look, at least, is how are we making sure that school boards are being able to have their local control rights that they were given by the state statutes.
Mm-hmm. We also have, we talked about this recently. It was kind of news to an old guy like me that cell phone bans, I guess I just thought they were there and they're not. And it's become a hot discussion topic again. And I'm sure that I think there's at least one bill dealing with cell phone bans, and there will probably be others that you'll have to track in the Capitol as well.
Yeah, and that's interesting because I believe that the cell phone bills tend to have bipartisan support. And what I've heard from that is that because there are a lot of school districts that have their own policies, and what I've heard is that their hope is to, in order to pass a bill like that, that school districts then have the ability to be able to say, oh, see, it's not us. It's the state telling us that we have to do this. So when there's pushback, that they have something to fall back on. Which I guess is a nice way of them thinking that that's good that the state, that we can fall back on the state. But I do think there's still a need of that. There's a reason why we have that school districts have local control, because school districts mm-hmm. are so very different from each other across the state.
Yeah. We're talking to Bryn Horton, and she follows for the Wisconsin Public Education Network the various bills that get introduced at the state capitol that could have an impact on our schools and on your kids' education. And again, from the Republican side, we see just such a focus on issues that involve such a small percentage of what goes on in society, much less our education. In this case, I'm referring to various gender restrictions on participation in sports and other activities. That's another bill I'm assuming Republicans will try to bring up and push, even though they know that Governor Evers would likely veto anything resembling that.
Yes, that's absolutely true. And I do believe that there is a lot of talk about the fact that the Senate might not possibly go into any more floor sessions the rest of this year. Mm-hmm. And so even though, introductions happen and those bills will definitely get referred to committees and actually have public hearings, which doesn't happen for a lot of bills that could actually fix things or help things in the school districts. It's those dividing bills that get public hearings.
Right. They do. And I'm sure there will be something. There is a bill, of course, to require English only in schools. We talked about the flag display. There's another bill that would require, the national motto "In God We Trust" to be displayed in all courtrooms. Somebody just asked me yesterday, did that law really pass in Texas that requires the Ten Commandments to be displayed in every classroom? I'm like, yeah,
yep.
That's a thing. And that which means it's going to encourage, some legislator in Wisconsin to try to do the same thing. So you're right. We're going to hear a lot of what you would call social issues or wedge bills or anything like that. Those seem the ones that get the public hearings and get some attention.
Yes, absolutely. And there's never any funding attached to those. So, we can display the motto in the schools, but it's going to cost the school districts money to have to do all of that stuff. And so that's the other part of it, too, that comes with is we can give us all these things to do and then don't give any money to be able to accomplish those effects.
Yeah, we just talked about this with Jimmy Kuska a couple of weeks back when we talked about scoreboards and how I did not know that there still wasn't a shot clock for high school basketball. But that's because every school would have to, not every school, but many schools would have to replace their scoreboard. They don't have the money to replace a scoreboard. So if they don't have money to replace a scoreboard, they sure don't have money to be putting up, religious symbols and mottos and things like that in our schools as well. And all of this, Bryn, really comes back to, a central theme of this segment, and that is providing our public schools with the resources they need. That includes the voucher transparency that we've talked about here. And by the way, the Wisconsin Public Education Network, just this week kicked off a public campaign to increase the transparency of the voucher program so that taxpayers know how much it really costs. So head over to wisconsinnetwork.org to learn more. But Bryn, again, it really is what you're hearing from the Democratic side is let's give schools the resources and the tools they need rather than more restrictions.
Yeah, definitely. Ways to be able to find more funding to be able to help close that funding gap that's going to be left with the budget. And the main one that I think that I'm really watching on the Republican side is that there is a bill to get rid of the $325 automatic revenue limit increase that the governor got passed into law through his partial line veto and then was upheld, but there is a bill out there to get rid of that now. And so that's the kind of thing that, the punishment that comes along with being able to get that, now we need to take that away, even though that's not actually more funding from the state.
Yeah, that's just it. Because of the creative use of the line item veto, you now have this per pupil adjustment locked in for, 300 years or whatever it is. But again, if you're not giving an increase in overall general state aid, it really doesn't mean much. But of course, that's what Republicans are going after. They're going after the line item veto rather than putting a focus on what can we do for our schools? What can we do for our kids? And I guess I'm not confident that a bill that would get rid of the 300-year extension will be accompanied by, okay, we'll do an extension for a couple of years. No, they'll just get rid of it entirely.
Yeah.
We have seen how that goes. There's also bills out there for everything from requiring civics education to tuition and fee remission for veterans and dependents, technical colleges leasing their facilities. There's just so many things that have to be followed in the Capitol, and Bryn Horton does that for the Wisconsin Public Education Network. Bryn, thank you so much for doing all of that and for taking some time to give us a little update this morning.
Absolutely. Happy to do it.
All right. Thank you, Bryn. Have a wonderful day.
Thanks. You too.
As we mentioned, it is a day of campaign announcements. Corrine Hendrickson announcing her run for state Senate earlier this hour. And then less than an hour from now at 8:35, State Representative Francesca Hong, newly announced candidate for Wisconsin governor, will join us to talk about why she has chosen to run for that office in 2026. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
On the battlefield, there's a saying America's military men and women live by. Never leave a fallen warrior behind, ever. Off the battlefield, Wounded Warrior Project operates with the same goal. Wounded Warrior Project was created to help our men and women returning home with the scars of war, whether those scars are physical or mental. Wounded Warrior Project. We never leave a fallen warrior behind. Ever. Learn more about what we do at woundedwarriorproject.org.
There are so many traditions built around the Wisconsin Badgers, game day and the mascot, which in 1889 was a real badger. It didn't go well. Eventually, the animal was replaced by a person. An on-campus contest chose the official mascot name Buckingham U. Badger. Still, Wisconsin's official animal is a badger. But do you know which animal almost earned this title instead? Gray squirrel? White-tailed deer? Black bear? The answer is coming up. The original badger's nickname is actually associated with lead miners in the state, not the animals. It was the 1820s, and the miners often didn't have shelter in the winters, so they lived like badgers, digging tunnels into the hillsides where they worked. So was there almost another state animal? Yes, the white-tailed deer, which later became the official wildlife animal. But the history surrounding the badgers is a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Does Trump's big bill end taxes on tips and overtime? No. President Donald Trump's new law exempts certain tip and overtime income from federal tax. But the deductions expire in 2028 and come with limits. Workers earning under $150,000 can deduct up to $25,000 in tips and $12,500 in overtime. Social Security, Medicare, and state taxes still apply. The Tax Policy Center says 2% of households will benefit from the tip provision, saving $1,800. The White House estimates $1,400 in average annual savings from the overtime deduction. I'm Tricia Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
The more you listen to your kids, the closer you'll be. So we asked kids, what do you want your parents to hear?
I feel sometimes that I'm not listened to. I would just want you to listen to me more often and evaluate situations with me and lead me towards success.
Listening is a form of love. Find resources to help you support your kids and their emotional well-being at soundedouttogether.org. That's soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and Pivotal.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. And now for something local from WFHR and WIRI
to
Studios.
The music. He is the great nephew of T-Bone Walker, yeah. The Texas blues guitar player. And oh, so cool. I just can't wait to see this show.
Yeah.
For those guys.
It's a get for us as a community, as a festival, to have them. Mr. Walker, somebody I've wanted to talk to, interview before and everything. And at the same time, he angers me a little bit. Oh. Like, you can't be that talented, man. Pick an instrument. I can't even play the air guitar that well. And this guy, I'm kidding. But he's a real wonderful person to be able to bring to our community and Absolutely. Have a part of this event. That's awesome.
Yep. And the drummer, Tom Clayson, lives right here in Wisconsin.
That's
Rapids.
Right. Yeah.
Used to run the, there was a band that he used to run.
I'm trying
to remember what that band was.
Northbound Train.
Oh, Northbound Train. Thank you. That's right. That would have bugged me all. Yeah. You rock, Susan. Thank you so much. Oh, that would have bugged me all board, I guess. Northbound Train. Seen them
Northbound
a bunch.
Northbound Train. Yeah. We really tried to book as many locals as we could, you know, as many as we could get. And we only had to go outside of central Wisconsin for Howard Ludke.
Yeah.
who was a popular pick from the FRM board and from other members of the community. He's got a lot of fans here, and he plays here fairly regularly. And so he's bringing his Blue Max group here with his wife Deb on bass. And not sure who's Billy is probably going to be playing drums with him,
sure,
as he has for many years. And I think he's bringing in Pete Shank from the local community on keyboards as an extra for the Blue Max show. That's going to be terrific.
Encourage you to check out their Facebook page for FRM. They've got a great video up right now of Howard. It is wonderful. I was watching it this morning and everything. It's a really nice video. Give you an idea, give you a little bit of a taste of this man if you haven't heard him yet.
He's become a legend in Wisconsin and the Midwest for his blues guitar playing, especially the slide guitar that he does. It's just an amazing. Been at it for 50 years. You know,
it sounds like a 20-year-old when he's playing that thing, man.
Oh, he's got all the energy. Yeah, I've never seen him sag. He's always been strong. Yes, always.
That's a good way to put it. Yeah. And the event wraps up with an amazing band as well, Art.
Oh, Adam Gruhl and the Space Burritos. I have a close association with them, as a matter of fact, and spend a lot of time with Adam over the years in various. Various functions that we've worked. He's from Central Wisconsin. He's kind of a legend, right? Mm-hmm. He's become a legend around here for the horseshoes and hand grenades. One of the best and most popular string bands to come out of Central Wisconsin, and you know, rise to national prominence. They played the Ryman down in Nashville, and they played Kane's Ballroom in Tulsa, and they're a top draw. And the Space Burritos is Adam's country rock band, and he uses it for a vehicle to get people dancing and having a good time and jam out on some of the old familiar tunes, Jerry Jeff Walker tunes and some blues and some Waylon Jennings, and then he writes his own stuff and he puts his own songwriting into the band too. And it's a capable bunch of musicians, 5-piece band, and they're going to rock the house at the very end. They're going to rock Robinson Park.
I was thinking, Adam's such a complete musician, similar to yourself, sir. That's one of the things I think of when I think of somebody like him. What a great way to wrap everything up. Incredible music, a little bit of something for everybody. I love the addition, or not the addition, I should say, but just the focus on local talent and sticking to a lot of that as you can. Not only when we're bringing this festival back after some time off and everything, but the idea that, okay, well, I can see some of these bands in state, sure, but seeing them all in one location on the same day, it's a festival. I mean, that's a true festival right there. It's really cool to be able to offer to people. And along with all of that, Suzanne, there are also going to be vendors down there and some things for the kids.
Yes, we're going to have the very popular Kids Zone, which will be back again. The activities there will include games, crafts, percussion instrument station, face painting, balloon animals, and of course a big bounce house slide. There'll be a variety of snacks and treats for the kids as well. We'll also have a caricature artist and a henna tattoo artist. We'll have an amazing variety of food trucks, plus beer and wine for the adults, and craft and art vendors to check out as well.
I make no bones about it. Robinson Park, one of my favorite places in the state. I love Robinson Park. Have a billion memories of it. When you first walk in there along the stones there and everything, you'll probably see some of those vendors. It's a great way to buy local, support local, stop by their places. Even if you're not able to purchase something, get an idea of what they do. Find out if they have a website. Maybe you can share it on your social media or something like that. This event is a free event, and it's about, you know, celebrating this area, celebrating the music in this area. It's also about supporting this area, and this is another great way of doing that, helping out our vendors out there, that any opportunity they get to sell their goods or something like that it makes a big difference in their huge difference in their livelihood and everything. So here's an opportunity to do that. Holidays are right around the corner. If you have a mother like me, you cannot buy just anything in any department store. It has to be completely like unique and original, and only one or two people have it. The vendors over there got stuff like that. Be sure to check that out. And
absolutely,
I mentioned before that this is a free event. Suzanne, this is a free event in major part because of the donors and the great people that helped make this event possible, along with, of course, you guys and the team and everybody. We wanted to make sure to shout out some of the donors.
Absolutely. We had just an incredible response from our community businesses and even just local people. Encourage, Invenergy, the Crowbar, Whiskey Rapids, Riders Roadhouse, Hotel Mead, Aspirus, Rural Mutual, Wenzel Incorporated, R&R Patio Bar, Solaris, Nakusa Port Edward State Bank, Members Advantage, and of course, Arndt Cranberry Company, who I'm involved with as well.
Right on.
So, there's individuals as well. Al O'Leary and Tom Kamm, just some major donors here that we greatly appreciate. Also, the Kevin Roberts Scholarship, well, I should say the Memorial. There is a scholarship fund, but the money that we're drawing from for this festival is coming from the Kevin Roberts Memorial Fund. So this festival also honors his life and legacy, as well as Jeff Goss, who is a local loved musician from the past.
Yeah. I appreciate that. And I appreciate those notes there, Suzanne. Really appreciate you two hanging out with Melissa and I this morning and bringing us this information and talking about FRM Fest. Again, everybody, Friends of Rapids Music, FRM Fest.
Thank you for listening to WFHR and WIRI Studios. For more information or for the rest of our content, you can visit WFHR.com, WIRI.FM, or the Civic Media app.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. A royal welcome for President Trump and the First Lady in Windsor as they begin an unprecedented second state visit to the UK. They were greeted by the King and top royalty. Driven in a procession of horse-drawn carriages to the castle. Air traffic controllers warned Spirit pilots away when their passenger plane came within 8 miles of Air Force One over New York as it flew the President and First Lady to the UK.
We're at 1300, traffic's off your left wing by 8 miles, 747. I'm sure you can see who it is.
Utah prosecutors present what they say is damning evidence after charging Charlie Kirk's alleged killer with aggravated murder. CBS's Katrina Kaufman. From Provo, Utah.
Text messages between him and his roommate, who was also a romantic partner. You know, he seemed to really confess to this crime in these messages.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.